good evening, West Texas. Welcome to the Texas Town Square Media Network. Steve Evans, Ken Corbin hanging out with you this evening. As always, that text line, 806-680-2790. If you'd like to weigh in on anything, I'm gonna light us off with weather. Not a lot to talk about at the moment, but I do have a couple little things to look at here. Also, I've got a report that I wanted to share with you. So this is it's a forecast report. Summer is here, but parts of Texas will struggle to see the sun today. National Weather Service is warning that some areas could see storms this week. Hail and a tornado risk for you, Amarillo. Forecasters are saying a storm is moving into the northern Oklahoma panhandle. I'm going to pull the radar up here in just a second, see where it's at and what it's doing. It's lighting off this afternoon. Northern Texas panhandle, including Stratford, Perryton, Canadian, can face a level one risk of severe weather. That can be accompanied by ping-pong-sized hail, 65-mile-an-hour wind gust, and a tornado or the primary hazards. Now, there is no tornado reported, but conditions are right for, you know, we'll see watches come into place, but conditions could be right for a tornado. Meteorologists say the hazards are most likely between 4 and 10 p.m. We're in that window now. There's a 20% chance of showers, and a seven-day forecast for Amarillo. Folks may, per the agency's seven-day forecast, they may notice frequent lightning during this period. Despite the wet weather pattern, above normal temperatures are expected across the region. Palladora Canyon expected to see highs of 101 to 103 degrees. My goodness, it's just June 1st. Thankfully, they will not be record-breaking. It seems like it might be close to a record. Record highs for June 1st are 8 to 10 degrees warmer than that forecast. It's too hot. Looking ahead, potential flooding on Tuesday and Wednesday when rain chances are the highest. Up there in the panhandle. Let me pull the radar up here and take a look. There's a storm of interest right now, folks headed that live in Clarendon. Strong thunderstorm moving into the city of Clarendon. 50 to 55 mile an hour winds, possible penny size hail. Now, that panhandle storm, I mean, all up above the Texas panhandle, there is severe thunderstorm warnings all over the place, big weather, thunderstorm watches and warnings all the way up into Denver, Colorado. All that stuff is sitting in a low-pressure front that's like just like a bulldozer, just pushing it down towards the panhandle. So I don't know where it's going to go, but It's not going to be there by the time we get off the air. And big weather, all that stuff has moved on over. You know, the other big storms that impacted us yesterday have moved on out east. Abilene, you've got, not Abilene. I zoomed in too fast. That's further out there. Abilene's clear. And some stuff building on where that front wraps around to the west in New Mexico that may come across. So great big weather in Lubbock last night. Ken, you got a bunch of weather at the house, didn't you? I did too.
We got an inch and a quarter of rain according to the gauge. And you know, you're talking about the weather, and the Times Record in Wichita Falls is running a story that was just updated about an audit on the Wichita Falls outdoor siren system. And a report that inspections that were conducted in March and April of this year, and basically they have 53 warning sirens in the city of Wichita Falls, and there were 709 failures among the units as they went through and tested them.
Not shocked at all.
You know, I'm not either, and it's.
I think they're stupid. I mean, it's. You know, we've got the system in Lubbock, and there was all the big debate going by. I mean, there's a bigger debate about that than I'm seeing about data centers. I got some data center stuff to talk about too, but there was a massive debate about the sirens and how much they were going to cost, and I think they're stupid. I mean, I can go out in my front yard, I can't hear a siren. When they test them, I can't hear them. I mean, you have to
hear it. I can barely hear it in my house because
we're probably on the same one covering
us. It's about a half mile from my house.
I don't even know where it's at, but It's out there somewhere, but that's dead calm.
It's just down 66 from us.
So. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I think that's the one covering my house, too.
Yes.
But if it's dead calm, no wind and nothing making noise, and you tell the kids to shut up, you can just faintly hear it. But if there was any wind or any weather, there's no way I would hear it. In fact, the only thing the sirens have done is just almost cause a wreck because I happen to be driving past one here recently. And I mean, it was perfect timing. I had the window down in my pickup, just nice cool weather. And I drove by a siren over on Frankfurt right when it lit off, and lit off right in my ear. And it's right off the side of the road. And I almost ran off the side of the road. It was so loud. That's about the only thing the sirens have done for me. You know, I don't know, 806-680-2790, your opinion on the sirens. I know they in little towns they work, but you know the ones I've seen in little towns, they're like lighthouse foghorns. I mean, the things are massive. You can hear them across the whole town, but these we have are in Lubbock, or, you know, they rotate, and I just don't think they're that loud. I don't know. I don't know what they're for, what they do.
The thing is, you've lived in West Texas long enough. You know, what's the kind of the joke? You know, you just go, sometimes you go outside and watch the tornadoes. You know, I remember seeing, you know, if it's 4 or 5 miles away, you kind of just sit there and watch it before you take cover. I know that's not the smartest thing to do, but, you know, I can't be the only one that's ever done that.
You got everybody. Dad goes and gets everybody into the storm shelter, and then stands out there and watches it, like daring them to tear up his field. Don't you come near my house. You know, just out there screaming at it or something, and then dives in the door at the last minute. I mean, you know that happens. I've got the family safe. I can stand out here and watch the storm.
It's one of those things, if you happen to notice outside that there's something going on, you know, you turn on the media, whether it's your radio station you're listening to now or one of the TV stations, and you just see what's going on. And I don't know that the sirens are going to change any of that at all.
I don't know. I remember several years ago, there was a great big old bad tornado that ripped Tulia to pieces. It's been, I don't know if it's been 20 years, but it's been 15 or 16. And there was a cotton gin. It was in the little town of Halfway, and it was just halfway between Plainview. You know, they named them. You had quarter way between Plainview and Olton. This was halfway between Plainview and Olton. It's Halfway Co-op Gin, and we had put a new baling press, and I had one of the service guys from Georgia out, and he was working on it, and it's so funny. He had gotten everything cleaned up. It was late in the afternoon, getting ready to go, and he comes out, he goes, well, I'll see you in the morning. I said, well, hold on just a minute. And he said, why? I said, well, I don't want you to leave yet. I said, we may have to climb down here in this press hole. And he says, why? I said, because that tornado just touched down in that field over there. And I remember him looking up and saying, oh, dear, what are we going to do? I said, just hold on. We don't even know if it's coming at us yet. It was still a ways off. And it broke, and it went a little bit north of us, and it fired off, and it got past, and we didn't have to dive in there. But when I was turning out to leave on the highway, here come all the storm chasers, and I saw that armored TIV, the tornado intercept vehicle, the guy that was doing the, you know, the big tornado video, filming tornadoes. He had the big TIV. It goes screaming past us, and that thing ended up going over and tearing Tulia, Texas to pieces. And I don't know if Tulia has sirens. Maybe they do. Maybe they went off. But that was a bad tornado, and it went up and came back down a couple of times. It bounced up and down, and when it came down, it was stronger, and it hit Tulia and tore it up pretty good. But that was just funny. I mean, I don't think the guy had ever seen a tornado, and I'm just like, yeah, that tornado over there, just hold on. You know, we might have to dive in this hole here.
The thing is, it's so flat out here, you can see one from miles
away. Oh, yeah.
Away.
You can see, unless it's rain-wrapped or, you know, it's got a bunch of precipitation around it. You've seen a clean tornado that's in the middle of the afternoon. When those happen, boy, you see them come down. And they're intriguing to me. They're destructive as all get out. I wish we didn't have them. It's, you know, but they are intriguing pieces of weather. And the things that have to be just right for them to form are pretty interesting to me. But still, I mean, I could do without them, do without hurricanes and destructive weather altogether. But this is the place we choose to live, Ken. And with it comes hail insurance riders and trucks getting tore up and new roofs. And I've had a few of those in the last couple of years, and we get the tornadoes.
Well, I'd rather have a little bit of extra wind insurance as opposed to having to pay for hurricane insurance on the coast.
Oh, hurricane or flood insurance? Who wants to pay for that?
But oh, my.
I don't know about those hail and damage riders, because they say that they're supposed to take care of your premium so they don't go up. But every time I've had a roof claim, my premium goes up every single time.
Without a doubt. I'm sure there's going to be some insurance guy text us or call in trying to dispute it, but
don't you dare insult the insurance. But I'm not, okay. If you know a hack there, I'm happy to listen to you. Let's see. I got a couple to get text to get to, but let's take the break. 806-680-2790. Send us your thoughts. We'll be back in a moment.
You've got a life to live, and you don't want to miss out on any of it. That's why the first thing you do when you get in a car is buckle your seatbelt. Whether you're a driver or a passenger, not wearing your seatbelt could get you a ticket, a fine, or worse. Nobody wants that. So remember, if you love it, click it. Brought to you by the Texas Department of Transportation.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
After 98 years, we're still on the air. This is News Talk 95.1 FM and 790 AM KFYO.
Hey, welcome back. 806-680-2790. Like to send us a message? I got a few to get to. Let's take a look. 773 says, I agree, they're stupid. Everybody has a phone. Put the signal out on that. You know, I was arguing, like, at one point, we all have, like, the old copper phone lines coming in there. Every house was wired. I guess the new ones aren't, but send the signal down those. You can put a annunciator in if you want. Okay, 525. It's anywhere that you have severe weather. The people in the hurricane places, they always wait until the last minute to evacuate for the hurricanes. People in a tornado area always wait to stand outside on the porch to see if it's actually going to hit the ground and if it's going to turn your way, too. And it's just the way humans are. We're all basically stupid animals, and we want to see severe weather, you know. So, you know, the sirens, I've never heard them really make a difference when they test them. It is what it is. Thank you, Kendra. They work in little towns because they're like giant. It's like an old 57 Ford pickup horn. They put up there and they fire it up. You know, they make noise. Eric weighs in. Sirens, first world problems. You know, small towns, Steve, someone breaks wind and it's a matter of minutes before everybody knows it. Yeah, y'all got the, you know, over in Hale Center, you've got a telephone. They have the old teletype and they got a tele-Eric. And so all you have to do is tell Eric, and everybody knows. That's how it works.
Well, the thing is, so many of these smaller towns do not have any dedicated media like Abilene, Lubbock, Amarillo, Wichita Falls. You know, you go to some of the places like, you know, Dickens, or you go down, you know, towards, you know, Abilene, or you know, like Monday out towards Wichita Falls, or if you go, you know, north of Plainview, you know,
any little town anywhere, we're full of them out there.
But they don't have, dedicated media. And if you know, they do, fortunate enough to have a radio station, but that's about it. And if they're below a certain size, they sure don't have one.
Oh, I agree. Switching gears, 791. Mark in California.
How was Chad's service? I knew somebody was going to ask. And
Steve, you did a good job on what you had to say about Chad. He would have been proud.
I don't. It's hard to talk about, but I don't mind talking about it. Thank you for asking, Mark. We had a small family and friends burial to protect the family and respect the family, and we did a burial Saturday morning and. Carried him to his final resting place. Ken and I were honored to be among the handful. Oh, I hope that live stream wasn't recorded. Was it really? I said stuff I don't want repeated. Anyway, no, not really. It's fine.
I had to write out. Yeah, I don't know if I could have held it together.
So, but anyway, Ken and I were honored to carry Chad to his body. It's just his body. The old vessel that once was him. We carried him to his final resting place and said goodbye. And then we met at the church, the message at 2 o'clock, and we shared stories. And so mine were, a lot of people knew Chad as the broadcaster. A lot of listeners out there, Chad as the broadcaster. And so I always like to say there was two Chads, but he was genuine in everything he did. So you were hearing a piece of Chad. And there are certain things that Chad did not include in his broadcast. It's stuff that he just didn't talk about, and He didn't early on delve too much in his personal life. He kind of kept those separate. But later on, when he started talking about the fostering a child and things, he began to share a little bit because it was something that was so important to him. And adoption and fostering children and court-appointed special advocacy and things like that had become so important to him. You are going to hear him really go full steam on that subject. But so there's two different Chads. So a lot of people spent time telling stories about him in broadcast radio, and I thought, man, I can't do that. We need something funny. As I told his dad, the hard part's over, but when I got on stage and we started doing that, I'm not sure that wasn't the hard part, but we needed to laugh. And so I told a couple of stories, and of course a lot of my stories with Chad dealt with Scotch, cigars, and barbecue. Those were the things that he and I had the most in common. It was very, very interesting is Chad and I don't have a lot of broadcast stories because we rarely broadcast together. I was backing him up when he was off doing something, and every once in a while I'd jump in the studio with him and we'd do a show. We had barbecue one time. He called and said, so-and-so's bringing ribs over. We're going to talk barbecue. Come over. So awesome. So we sat and talked to Scott Shack Barbecue and ate ribs and, had a grand time. And so we would interact sometimes, but we didn't broadcast that much together. So
most of the election shows we were able to do together.
Yeah, we did the election shows. And, of course, he and I, we broadcasted very well together. Because he's just so funny, and so he would just feed off of it, and we'd trade blows. But most of our time it was spent out doing things and enjoying the things we loved, and that was cigars, fine spirits, and barbecue. We had that in common. So I told a few stories, and then I told a story, that I probably going to get a friend of mine in trouble over this, but I told another story about where we had the old Noah Guy Cigar Lounge, and our dear friend Annie, and I was thinking, thank God she's not here. And as I walk out of the sanctuary, there's Annie standing there with this great big grin on her face, and I said, oh my goodness, I am so sorry. I didn't know you were here. And now I've embarrassed her, but she thought it was funny. It was a fun night, and those were the things that I want to remember, and that's what keeps the sadness away. And because I'm going to tell you, Saturday, I've lost a lot of friends, veteran friends, to suicide and various things and cancer and all the stuff they carry. But this one was one of the hardest, and it's one that hurt probably more than anything else.
Exactly.
I lost my former co-host Mallory Miller, but he was sick for a long time. We had time to prepare. He had an unbelievable faith, but Chad's was a light switch, man. It was a moment in time, and he was gone. And I talked to him less than 12 hours before that about how he was doing and checking on him, and reassuring him the show was going to be fine. And then there we were.
I had to follow Ryan Hyatt and one of the things I said.
Yeah, you had. You know, I said that was good. I just had to bring it home.
Thing about radio, I mean, just having to follow, Ryan Hyatt or Chad Hasty, and I was up there on stage having to follow Hyatt, and talked about how Chad and I, in the radio we had in common because, I sold for the show, and Chad and I would go out together, make calls, and like I said, the clients always like seeing Chad a lot better than like seeing me because here's the star of the show. And then, Chad and I, it's kind of a real quick story about, I showed him my Monte Cristo Christie hat that he goes, oh man, I've got an open road. We would like show each other our latest finds, and we had that in common. And we both love cigars and the whiskeys and just had kind of a great relationship that we would have had even if we weren't in radio together.
Sure. Well, and I was proud. I ordered a brand new open road, and that's what I wore as we carried him to his final resting place. But more on that, your text when we come back. Time to check in on news and weather. 806-682-790. We'll be right back.
Call into the show at 1-800-687-0790. Proudly broadcasting on the Texas Town Square Media Network.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Heads up, Texas.
So you don't hit my car when I'm sitting at a stoplight.
Heads up, Texas.
So I can ride my bike safely.
Heads up, Texas.
So I can make it across the street without getting run over.
Heads up, Texas.
So I don't have to write you a ticket.
Heads up, Texas, because driving and using your phone is a bad combination. Talk, text, crash. Brought to you by TxDOT.
TSN headlines, Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wade Mullen in Dallas today to honor three ICE agents for their heroism during the September sniper attack on the ICE field office, which left one detainee dead and two others injured. A handful of groups suing ICE over what they're calling inhumane conditions at Camp East Montana at Fort Bliss. Three people died in custody at Camp East Montana, with at least one death attributed to excessive force by guards. In Collin County, they're selecting the jury to hear the murder case against Carmelo Anthony, the teenager accused of stabbing fellow teen Austin Metcalf last year at a Frisco track meet. Texas DPS making a tweak to its commercial driver license test effective today. All CDL exams will be administered only in English. The change coincides with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's English proficiency requirements. Parts of the panhandle now dealing with exceptional drought, but rain has helped out Corpus Christi. With your Texas news headlines, I'm Barbara Schwartz.
The rental team at ASCO is ready to help you find the right equipment to do the job. For over 65 years, we've dedicated ourselves to supporting you with fast service and reliable equipment. Choose from daily, weekly, or long-term rental options to fit your project's needs. Buy it, rent it, support it. We're on it at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com for your next equipment rental. That's ASCOEQ.com.
You smell that? Spring. Hibernation's over. It's time to run it. Run it until the grass becomes long and the hedges duck and cover. Then, run it again. Steel, get up to $50 off select AK battery tool sets. Offer valid for limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Your Lubbock South Plains weather forecast is temperatures after a day of temperatures in the middle 90s. We're going to drop into a nice evening. Temperatures still holding in the 80s by midnight. 66 degrees by tomorrow morning. And then 91 degrees by the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms will be increasing by Tuesday. Weather is brought to you by Sonic and the Sonic Refreshers. I'm meteorologist Ron Arbuckle, Lubbock's official weather station, News Talk KFYO.
Financial news on KFYO.
I'm Dan Loney with Your Money Now. The $10 billion investment by Berkshire Hathaway into Alphabet, announced earlier today, is just the beginning of a new push by the parent company of Google. Alphabet has plans to sell $80 billion in stock to fund investments in AI infrastructure so as to meet an unprecedented demand by consumers. More record closes for Wall Street today. All three indexes at record levels once again. Dow Industrials up 46 points, ending the day at 51,079. NASDAQ picked up 114 points. The S&P 500 gained 20. The Trump administration plans to drop the $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund as it is receiving significant pushback by lawmakers. The fund was set up to compensate people who are allegedly victims of prosecutorial overreach by the Justice Department under the Biden administration. The fund was created as part of the settlement between the IRS and President Trump from his $10 billion lawsuit. And that is Your Money Now.
From the FIFA World Cup to competitive business environments, grand ambitions lead to game-changing achievements. At Bank of America, we're there to support businesses at every step, providing insights and expertise to help you gain an edge.
He shoots, he scores!
What would you like the power to do? Explore winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Volume. Business moves fast. Orders roll in, deadlines close in. When you ship with USPS Ground Advantage, you can keep up with confidence. Every package stays in our secure network from dock to door. And with nationwide reach, dependable tracking, and upfront affordable pricing, you get built-in peace of mind. You run the business. We run the routes. Visit usps.com/groundadvantage to learn more.
The Car Pro, Jerry Reynolds here. Tune in to KFYO every Thursday morning for my test drive of the week. I'll join Sunrise LBK's Tom Collins and Matt Crow as I share dealership tips and bring confidence back to the car buying process. Every Thursday morning at 7:30 right here on KFYO.
You can catch the absolute latest on all that's happening with President Trump in the White House on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, weekdays at 11 on the News and Talk of West Texas. News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO.
Empowering West Texas with news that matters. News Talk 95.1 FM, 790 AM KFYO.
Hey, welcome back. 806-680-2790. If you'd like to send a message, let me knock a few texts out here. Let's see. Mark in California, which cemetery is he in so I can stop by next time I'm in Texas? He's at Rest Haven Cemetery, and he's over in the, there's a small area over there where they have the big tall monuments, and so they'll eventually be a big tall headstone.
It's on the eastern side of the Rest Haven.
It's kind of northeast corner of Rest Haven, but most all of Rest Haven is just the flat headstones, but they have the monument, I want to say Monument Valley, that's not what it is. But they have a monument area over there that's tall, and you can find it, and he's over there, and if we get a plot number, I'm sure we can share it if you want to stop by and see it. Let's see. Eric says you forgot Telemundo. Okay, gotcha. Thanks. Thank you. 474, why don't they just give every veteran a mortgage-free home? Better yet, let's give everyone one. I mean, they make big news story about it, and everyone else is trying to buy gas and groceries. I don't know the story that you're talking about, but I haven't seen that one.
Well, I can pull. I think there was a press release about the homes for veterans that they do, but we'll look that up for a little bit later here.
You know, I have mixed feelings on that, on that issue. Most veterans want you to fix what's broken and put you back in society. That's what most veterans, and most veterans have a lot of things broken and are going to need help for a long time to come, and that's where the disability is. But fix what's broken and put us back into society. I have mixed feelings sometimes on the way these homes are given and how the selection's done. And there's a lot of really bad stories about sometimes these things are given to people that shouldn't have had them in the first place and wind up can't keep them or can't afford taxes or whatever. And then there's been some instances where veteran homes have been given away and then people turn around and try to sell the things after they've lived there a year. And there are some horror stories. And so I don't know that I necessarily support that. It needs to be very, very carefully selected if that's going to happen. And someone who really, really needs help should get that. But most people just fix us and put us back into society, and most veterans are fine with that. Now, it might interest you to know that every honorably discharged veteran that exits the military, money is allocated for 100% disability for that veteran. It's allocated in the VA budget. It's pretty much given to the VA in their budget, and the veteran has to go fight to get what's been allocated for them already. And the VA's job is to fight to keep from giving it to them. And then we go back and forth, and so we have to go out and fight for legislation that kind of compels them to do it, compels those benefits, and creates more reasons that they can go and make those claims. And then if they don't give it to them, they get to keep it, and I assume there's just big bonuses and more staff and government grows.
Well, probably what they're referring to is this afternoon at 4, the West Texas Hero Homes ribbon-cutting ceremony was today for Staff Sergeant Philip Jason Greenberg. He was a
Trying to take anything away from him because
he was an Air Force veteran and he had military honors, which included the Army Commendation Medal with two oak leaf clusters, Air Force Achievement Medal, Meritorious Unit Award, and several other awards. And he's obviously a dedicated and very brave service member, and he had sustained lasting injuries during his service, including severe ankle deterioration, spinal damage, shoulder injuries, and as most veterans that see combat have PTSD. So, but despite these challenges, he remains resilient and looking forward as he builds a new chapter, and that's what they did today.
Right, and some of those I agree with 100%. There's organizations out there that build the homes. They vet the candidate that they're going to give it to very, very carefully.
There's an application process.
There's an application process, and they're very deserving. Now, there's some others out there that don't have the best application process, and sometimes these homes are handed out to someone that either they don't really need it, or they're not as deserving, or, there's extenuating circumstances. They don't do their homework. They build them a great big home for a family of four or five or six, and then find out, well, actually they're divorced and they don't need anything that big, and there might have been a two bedroom over here. They could have done the same thing with it. There's problems with it. And I don't want a free home. I'm fine paying my mortgage. I don't want anything more than what I need to fix what's broken and put me back in society. I got myself back in society. And I work every day just like you, and they don't fix what's broken very well. So most of it I have to just deal with. But here we are. I don't know. I just have mixed views. But at the same time, solid legislation, that's what the Veterans of Foreign Wars do. They go and lobby in D.C. for legislation to support veterans. And I agree with pretty much every cause. It's pretty serious legislative priorities that the organization carries.
And kind of in that same vein, just a little different, honoring veterans. June 6th is D-Day remembrance, and Silent Wings Museum in Lubbock, which is it's out by the airport, and it's going to be the 82nd anniversary of the Normandy invasion, and they're going to be doing quite a few things on the 6th and the 7th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., free admission on both days. And just allow everybody to reflect on the service and sacrifice the glider pilots had who flew unarmed gliders into landing zones deep into enemy territory.
Oh yeah, and there's full glider replica out there. You haven't been out to that museum or you're coming into town, go visit the Silent Wings Museum. It is really interesting.
Very good and informative.
There was some guts on board those things, man, because you're jumping on something that can't bring you home. It's a one-way trip. And you have to get home some other way. And they're pretty much, they just landed this thing and that was it. And some of them, they just crashed them. I mean, it was just a controlled crash, you know. But yeah, the troop carrying gliders.
Some aircraft slated to appear, a C-47 Southern Cross, and there's going to be a World War II era aircraft from the Texas Air Museum, and Slayton's going to be out there, and other aircraft appearances dependent on the weather and other circumstances.
Man, you know, I would try to I'd try to fly into one of those too, but the plane's going to be down for maintenance. That would be fun. Like, all these cool planes. Here's Stephen Lorne says, I'm here, guys. Come look at the plane. Oh, my goodness. We got something cool coming up this week we're going to tell you about. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap up the hour. When we come back, 806-680-2790. Back in a moment.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself? Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Nick, this is your phone here in the passenger seat. Look at me.
No, I'm driving.
You got a text. It says, "Yo, dude, your friends are fascinating. Let's text them back."
It can wait.
Sports app. Oh, you gotta see this play.
Later.
Hey, you got invited to a party. We need a RSVP now.
Phone, silence yourself.
Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Talk, text, crash. A message from TxDOT.
Chad Hastie was more than a voice on the radio. He was a titan of Texas talk, a proud Red Raider, a man of faith, and a champion of free markets and liberty.
KFYO and Texas Tech's Free Market Institute have partnered to create the Chad Hastie Memorial Scholarship. Your gift will fund scholarships for the next generation of Red Raiders who share Chad's values.
No amount is too big or too small. Go to KFYO.com, click on the Chad Hastie Scholarship tab, and donate today to honor Chad Hastie's legacy.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A murder suspect wanted for three killings has been arrested after an intense search of Hawaii's Big Island. Jacob Baker of Pahoa, Hawaii, was arrested on suspicion of murder, burglary, and other charges following a search that involved state and federal authorities. Police believe the 36-year-old is involved in the deaths of three men, a 69-year-old man found partially submerged in a cement pond after being strangled, a 79-year-old man who was found just a few hundred feet away, and a third man, also 69, whose body was found 19 miles away, who died of sharp force trauma. The killings took place over 2 days in a remote and mostly rural part of the island that's a mix of tropical landscape and lava fields. Police received a tip saying Baker was hiding in a grassy area and they found him hiding in a small cave and arrested him after chasing him through the jungle. Police say they have not identified a motive but were confident Baker was involved in all three killings. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
This is Bill Cunningham, the Great American. Spend your Sunday nights with me as we dissect the political climate and find sanity in such an insane world, making sense of the senseless.
Sunday nights from 9 to midnight
on News Talk KFYO.
Hey, welcome back. 806-680-2790. Quick text 239. Did they ever release the cause of death for Chad Hastie? No, and they never will. That'll be between the family.
Family's business.
It doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, I'd like to know, but at the end of the day, does it change anything? Nobody killed him. You know, that didn't happen. I could never find anybody that disliked him. Nobody killed him. It won't be released. I doubt. I don't foresee that being made public, but there's no reason to know, in my opinion. Now, I want to tell you something that's coming up. Ken has got to, just for this show, it's just going to be for this show, and do not pick up the phone and start calling, because that's not how we're going to do this, but we have a pretty cool package we're going to give away. We're going to gather names all week, and We'll draw it sometime next week. But we're going to have some tickets to Seinfeld. Is it a pair of tickets?
A pair of tickets for Seinfeld.
Pair of tickets with a hotel night.
With a hotel night.
Now, I mean, this is awesome.
And
I think that I'm going to draw my own name for it.
Well, we're doing it random. Steve. So I think you're going to get left out. Plus,
randomly going to pick my name.
We're going to do tickets at the Knife Guys on Saturday, where we're going to be there from 1 to 3.
That's right. Ken and I'll be at the Knife Guys 1 to 3.
Knife Guys at 66 in Milwaukee, and they've got a ton of stuff that they're going to have there at the remote. There's going to be, so every half hour.
Are we outside for that?
No, we're not. We're going to be inside.
So we can't smoke cigars?
No, sir.
Well, that's unfortunate because the weather's going to, it's probably going to be too hot to be outside. We'll be at the
Knife
Guys.
Maybe chance of being ready, but every half hour, they're going to have an hour. Every hour, they're going to have a drawing for giveaways during the day. And during the remote, Knife Guys has some special mugs that they made up for the Knife Guys. And we're going to give away a pound of Daybreak coffee and a mug every half hour during the remote. And so
that's pretty awesome.
It's going to be, a good time. You can come out and talk, see Steve and I, and we can talk to you during the breaks, and you can see all the great specials that they're going to have for Father's Day out there. And we'll go through that. I'll give Steve all the details on that, but we're going to have a lot of fun. Those remotes are always fun, and Chad did a great job on them, and we're going to try to keep the tradition alive.
So let me tell you what we're going to do for the Seinfeld package. So we're not going to do it just yet, but we're going to go 6 to 7 p.m., the second hour of the show. We can start it today, Monday through Friday, this week at 6 o'clock. You can text. Now, you got to text Seinfeld, your name, your phone number, because we have to be able to reach you. If you want to leave an email address, go for it. Your Seinfeld, your name, your phone number between 6 and 7 during the show, and I'll clip those names. We're going to randomly, we might even print them out and stick them in an open road and pull them out, draw them out of an open. I don't know how we're going to draw, but probably next week, Monday.
Monday.
We'll do it on the show on Monday.
And the thing is about having the tickets and a hotel night at the Embassy Suites is
nobody's excluded. So all you out there outside of Lubbock listening.
Exactly.
You got a place to stay. Now, you can buy your own dinner. You can eat at one of the fine establishments. You got to get here. But we'll set you up with a hotel night and a pair of tickets to Seinfeld. I'm very jealous. I'm not even going to be able to go if I could get tickets to it. So this is a pretty good deal.
So whether you're Abilene, Amarillo, Wichita Falls, or if you're listening to us down in San Angelo, Midland, Odessa, or Dumas, wherever you can pick the signal up at, just know that we'll get it to you. And when we call you, don't be sure and answer. We're going to ask for an address if you're outside the Lubbock area, and we will get the tickets and hotel night to you so that you can come up here and enjoy the show on us.
Nick's really excited about this giveaway because this one, he doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to answer the phone.
We might
let him draw it.
We'll tell him, okay, the randomizer, say, okay, we've got X number, and give us a random number, and then give us a secondary in case somebody, because we have had people that have given us their number or given the number they want to call or the number that's on the text line. And then when we get a hold of them, it's disconnected.
Yeah, make sure.
That's happened before.
Make sure we can call you back. If we can't call you back, we're going to go to the next one. That is what it is.
That's why it's good to put your email address on there, too.
Put your email. We need to be able to get a hold of you. And so one more time, it'll be from 6 to 7, second hour of the show, the rest of the week. You put Seinfeld, your full name, please, your phone number. We're not going to spam you. And we're gonna randomly draw a winner on Monday, and we'll clip all those names and numbers and get them out there and assign a numerical value to them.
Yes.
And then we'll draw a number. That's how we're gonna do it. And so Nick, it's congratulations. You don't have to do anything for this one. I got to do all the work. Anyway, 773, thank you, Ken and Steve, your comments at Chad's Celebration of Life. It was, Gwen, it was an absolute honor to be part of it, for the family to even ask us to participate.
Exactly.
Was tremendous, and they were very, very kind and very gracious, allowing others to share that moment and mourn with them. It's tough, like I say, hardest one I've ever done by far. It's done, and Ken and I, we're going to remember Chad in the best way we can, but we're going to move on because we all need to, but we can continue to pray and we can never forget. We don't have to forget. We can still have our memories, but, it's time to, you know, Chad has opened up, he gave us, if he had anything to do with it, I don't know. He's probably busy fishing in the Golden Pond, smoking cigars with Rush. But if he had anything to do with it, he gave us some great rain in Lubbock, and all across the listening areas got rain and then opened up the sky this morning. It was beautiful. We had a little shower Saturday morning right before Chad arrived at the cemetery, and then everything cleared.
Yes.
And it was perfect weather. Started getting hot, but it's perfect weather for that function. And then, so I'm going to remember my friend that had too many Bloody Marys and us judging barbecue and the Donald. That's what I'm going to remember. Rest of it.
And we've tried to make sure that everybody can participate in giving Chad his honor and remember giving him something like we've done with the Free Market Institute at Texas Tech, the scholarship. And you can go to the station's websites that you're listening to right now and click on the Chad Hasty tab that's at the top about Remember Chad Hasty. It'll take you to the link at Texas Tech University for the Free Market Institute Memorial Chad Hasty Scholarship. And I've done that, and if you want to, then please do. That'd be a great way to honor Chad.
All right, quick text 791. When is Seinfeld? Seinfeld's going to be Friday the 12th. Is that
Friday
right?
Friday
the 12th is when the show's going to be. Quick check of news and weather. We round out the first hour of the show right here on the Texas Town Square Media Network. Hey, about 6 minutes. We'll be right back.
The preceding program was a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network. The views and opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily the views of this station, staff, management, advertisers, or Town Square Media.
Hey, it's Buck Sexton. Join me and Clay as we sound off every Sunday afternoon from 2 to 5 on News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO.
Nationwide news with a Texas twist. News Talk 95.1 FM and 790 AM. KFYO Lubbock.
It's 6 o'clock.
Tapping the brakes. I'm Lisa Lacerra, Fox News. The Justice Department says it's placing a hold on a controversial fund meant to compensate President Trump's allies who believe they were unfairly prosecuted for political reasons, complying with a court order.
Last week, a federal judge in Virginia ruled the fund must be paused while she sorted through legal issues. The DOJ posting on social media late this afternoon, quote, this fund was open to anybody who was so weaponized, targeted, persecuted, whether they were Democrat, Republican, conservative, independent, or otherwise. The department will abide by the court's ruling. Now, the fund was born after the president decided to drop his $10 billion lawsuit against the IRS after a former employee there leaked his tax returns.
Fox's David Spunt, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
This week, Senate Democrats will push legislation to ban this slush fund and ensure no president can ever do this again.
The Associated Press is reporting President Trump is reconsidering putting the fund in place following backlash from Republicans. And the president sounding optimistic on an Iran deal, telling ABC News it could happen over the next week.
Today here at the White House, President Trump spent his time in meetings, including calls with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the leaders of Hezbollah through intermediaries.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson at the White House. The president posting the call was productive, and Israel and Hezbollah have agreed to a partial ceasefire. The Senate back in session today, though not much progress has been made on a border security funding package.
That's $0 for a physical presence at our nation's border. $0 to deport criminals who have made their way into our country illegally.
Majority Leader John Thune accusing Democrats of wanting to open borders, which he calls indefensible. America is listening to Fox News.
You got hail?
A Social Security update. 70 million Americans collect Social Security benefits today, and millions more will join soon. Now, a new study finds 70% of Americans don't get the full benefits they deserve. But recipients can use simple strategies to boost Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Social Security expert Michael Allen says it's true and reveals five key strategies to increase your benefits. It's all in his free special report. Newsmax calls the report your best guide for bigger Social Security benefits. Whether you're getting benefits or soon will, you need the Social Security report. Get it free. Call 800-999-9690. 800-999-9690. We'll text it to you right away, along with President Trump's act cutting your Social Security taxes. Call now, 800-999-9690. 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply.
Car buying can really suck. That's why you need a friend in the car business. CarPro Jerry Reynolds here. To make car buying fun and fair, go to carpro.com to connect to one of my friends. The best part is, it's free. Carpro.com.
Your lovely South Plains weather forecast is temperatures after a day of temperatures in the middle 90s. We're going to drop into a nice evening. Temperatures still holding in the 80s by midnight. 66 degrees by tomorrow morning, and then 91 degrees by the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms will be increasing by Tuesday. Weather is brought to you by Sonic and the Sonic Refreshers. I'm meteorologist Ron Roberts on Lubbock's official weather station, News Talk KFYU.
Hey, welcome to Hour 2 of the program right here on the Texas Town Square Media Network. Ken Corbin, Steve Evans hanging out this evening. Nick Tauschek on the other side. Nick had a fabulous blue cardigan on Saturday. I mean, the big heavy button. I mean, had a tie and a dress shirt underneath the cardigan. You looked really hot, but you looked really good. It was a pretty... I didn't know they made a dress cardigan like that. That was his finest
Nick was
dress
stylish,
cardigan.
But the best thing was being able to see Nick's, you know, precious, super nice wife.
She does exist.
She does exist.
She does.
Yes, there is. We is confirmed.
Yeah, we've seen it. That or he borrowed somebody. Can you come to a wedding with me?
Well, it matches the picture.
Can you come to a funeral with me? Well, you don't know that he didn't pay the same person.
Well, I know, but it's...
to do the pictures, too. This whole thing could be a sham. We don't know. And, I mean, even like, oh, we're having children. Is it really yours? Did you not borrow this child, too? I mean, we need DNA. We need the works. We'll have to confirm it anyway. No, you looked very, very good, sir. You need to explore hats, because I really feel like, you know, a fedora.
No, saying, I've told him that.
A fedora, even an open road.
That would look good.
Have looked
what he had on?
The navy, because he had a navy open road would have looked really good there. My head's so big and weird that hats don't work. They have hats for your head's not that big. Is it? Is your head that big? Are you? How big a hat are you? 8.5?
That would be big. That'd be
no. They don't even make 8.5.
Well, I mean, they probably could if you asked.
Custom made. Oh, your head's not that big.
No, but it's just if you're wondering, yes, Nick's wife does exist, and Nick, he did.
She's lovely.
She's way above too. What you would expect Nick to
he to married way up.
You
way up.
As they say,
she's pretty, you know, and Nick she's smart, outkicked. And I mean, can she cook? She can cook. Oh, she's pretty. She's smart. She can cook. Does she like to cook? There we go. That kind of messes it up.
Nick definitely outkicked his coverage on that one.
Yes, he does. So he only eats string cheese and kid snacks at work. At home, he's fed like a king, I'm going to guess, probably. Anyway. Okay, 6 o'clock has rolled around. Oh, 1,800 for you military folks. If you would like to enter, you only need to enter once. I'm going to sift out the duplicates. You only need to enter once for the Seinfeld tickets on June 12th. It's a pair of tickets with a hotel stay at the Embassy Suites. So, I mean, it's a swanky hotel stay. You can probably, you know, just take the ticket, sell them off, stay at the hotel. Do whatever you want to do. They'll be yours. What you do is you send the text line, 806-680-2790. Seinfeld, your name, and your phone number. I need all that. I'm not just going to, you know, if you mess it up a little bit, then get your name and number. But I've got an auto sift that pulls the Seinfeld entries off so that I can keep track of them. So it's if you put Seinfeld, your name, your phone number, then on Monday we're going to draw a lucky winner for those tickets.
Okay, Steve, you said something about selling tickets. Now, these are promotional tickets.
Yeah, we'll know if you do it. We out you sold them. You'll be repercussions.
You will be permanently banned.
Banished.
We will get you.
No more tickets for you. System. Just like the soup guy. No more tickets for you.
No more. And we will not even read your text anymore.
It won't even be the soup Nazi. It'll be the ticket Nazi. So, Ken, no more tickets for you if you cheat. You got to go. You can do whatever you want with them. If you want to give them to a friend, if you want to win them and gift them to me, I'm not going to be in town. No. I really want to go to the show. I'm going to miss it. But anyway, Seinfeld tickets. So Seinfeld, your name, your phone number, 6 to 7, Monday through Friday, at the second hour of the show this week, and we'll draw on Monday.
Seinfeld's going to be at Buddy Holly Hall. Tickets are available.
Are there still tickets available?
There's still some tickets available, yes.
You know, another show I saw that's coming up, it's in August or September. Rodney Carrington's coming back to town.
Oh, Rodney Carrington, he's a riot. He's definitely, he's not a radio-friendly type.
He's not radio-friendly at all.
Type of comedian.
Seinfeld, but you could do a radio show. I mean, his show is clean. I don't know. I've never seen him live. Is he a clean comic?
I haven't either, but you know what? It would, knowing Seinfeld and having seen Rodney Carrington, Seinfeld would really have to be out of character to be anywhere as blue as Rodney Carrington. You know, Rodney Carrington actually took my wife and she goes, "You didn't have to take me tonight."
Getting a few entries there. We got an entry from Chris Samuel, and I recognize that last name. I think I know who you are. Weighing in, entering the ticket, several coming in. All right. Ken, you found yourself a swimming pool story that just triggered me. It set me off. I'm going to sit here and bite my tongue for a minute and tell us about the pool.
Well, it fits in with kind of what we're talking about the sirens, you know, about is this necessary something for government to do? And Abilene State Park Pool, this is in KTXS 12, you know, had this story up. And the Abilene State Park Pool will be closed until further notice. After years of renovation delays, there's no clear timeline for it to reopen again. And so we've had the same problem with pools in Lubbock. These pools in Abilene, this one was built in the 30s.
This is a state park pool.
This is a state park pool, but still Abilene.
Smidge different.
So it's still government run. And so in Lubbock, you know, this one was built in the 30s. A lot of the ones in Lubbock that have been closed were built in the 50s and 60s, and they're very expensive to maintain and even more expensive to have to go in and gut them and totally redo them, which is where we are in Lubbock. And they've got one pool that they're going to keep open at this point here in Lubbock. But the question becomes, is the city and are the taxpayers of a city obligated to maintain 4, 5, 6 pools?
If the city built it and if they're operating it, then they need to maintain it. But I'm going to argue they don't even need to get in it to begin with. I'm 100% against. I'm against city government owning anything. I'm not happy about them owning parking facilities. I'm not happy about all the businesses that they get into. I just don't think it's a good idea for a city to be in business. I don't. And our city is notorious for not handling maintenance and deferring maintenance.
A lot of cities are that way.
Let me go back. Well, they are. So don't get in it to begin with. Don't even start. If it's maintenance heavy, I get having parks. Parks are great. Parks are not super maintenance heavy unless they have structures on them that are super maintenance heavy. But we have some nice parks, and they're great places. Some of them make a little bit of money. There's party houses on them. You can rent the canopies or the gazebos with the barbecue pits, and you know, all that's great. But they're a headache, and they're expensive, and somebody has to pay. And the city never budgets maintenance. Go to Key Library. Let me just start rattling off some Lubbock maintenance failures. Go to Key Library. The Coliseum.
Coliseum Auditorium.
Should I open that wound? Because that maintenance was diverted years ago. I'm not beating on this city council. The problem is, when you run for city council, you inherit the sins of the father. You do. I'm sorry. I love it when they say, well, that didn't happen on my watch. I know, but you chose to jump into that seat, so you get to get beat up about it. Maintenance was deferred over to the Civic Center that now is a maintenance nightmare. Plus, they went in and did a renovation and made it look like every airport everywhere instead of the beautiful decorations and the way the Civic Center was originally created and designed and was imagined.
Yes, we had a mayor, and she was her vision of what it should look like did not really it wasn't very good. Just as you insinuated there, they changed the original look and feel of it.
Yeah, it was supposed to resemble a West Texas sunset, and I've never seen it that way, but I've had it described to me by multiple different people that. It had this beautiful carpet that was red and various colors, and the way the decorations and the whole decor came in from those west, that west entry was supposed to, you know, it was all supposed to be reminiscent of a West Texas sunset. It was very expensive carpet. They ripped all that out. I wonder where it's at. They ripped all that out and put in airport carpet. Looks just like an airport now. I don't know. It infuriates me when cities get into business. Now, if you're flush with cash, I'm going to ask, why are you flush with cash? You know, and then, well, we need to improve law enforcement, or we need to do this, or we need to spend money here, and then, oh, we're going to build a pool. Well, wait a minute. Government's job is essential services. That's government's job, essential services. Fire, EMS, protection, power, utilities, those are essential services. When we start getting into things that would be better operated and managed by the private sector, I'm sure someone can go in and build a pool and charge a reasonable rate to use the pool and probably make some money. There are some private pools in town that seem to do just fine.
There are, and plus the thing is, on Lubbock's problem is that demographics, it changed in the areas where the pools are. Some of the areas even depopulated. And you look, there's nothing that's west of Quaker Avenue, nothing south of 50th Street. And so basically what essentially is half to two-thirds of the city had no pool. They said, well, it's just the rich people. You know, they just go to the country club or build their own. 95% of the people that live outside the loop do not have a pool or members of a country club.
I don't have a pool.
I don't either.
I'm not a member of a country club either. I mean, but if I felt like I needed to spend the money and enjoy, I would. But I went to a public pool in Lubbock. Was there one in McKenzie Park? I think that's the one I went to when I was a kid. One time. No, that's nasty. I'm not hanging out in there. They can't put enough chlorine in that thing for me.
It's Clatt Park, and it's a double-sized Olympic-type pool, and it's going to be real nice, but the rest of them are shutting down. And it's so one out of what they've had five in Lubbock. It's just going to be one. It's going to be
kind of close it too. And then they started talking about the splash pads. What kind of maintenance are those things going to be?
They're much less. And Mark McBrayer, the mayor of Lubbock, I talked to him about those. He said those have actually been fairly popular, and he said that the maintenance on them is very low, and he said it's been a good addition to some of the parks. But the question is, then, you know, what do we need in the parks? It opens up another discussion.
I get the argument. You have to beautify things, and you have to bring features in the town to attract people to come here, to inspire growth, to generate more revenue so that you can grow, because a city, it's very, very hard for a city to just sit and be the same size without creating new revenue and new tax base. You know, they don't have to raise the taxes, but they can create more tax base to pull revenue so that they can grow. If a city gets idle or starts to shrink, it's in real trouble. And I get it needs to grow and expand, and you have to, but you don't have to have the kind of debt that the city of Lubbock has.
No,
there's better ways to do it. It's just years of mismanagement.
Whether you're Lubbock or Abilene, Amarillo or Dallas or wherever, is how much public money, how much does your taxpayer money that you get taxed on, whether it is property taxes or whether it is sales tax, how much of that has to go towards so-called quality of life?
Yeah, I get it. We'll take the break. Chris, Samuel, Phil, Kristen, David, Orlando, Brad, and William, got your entries. Thanks for entering. 806-6802-79 if you'd like to enter for those Seinfeld tickets. Take a quick break. Back in a moment.
As a parent, you said you'd never give up the convertible.
Look, the van even has its own backing.
You said you'd never schedule your life around a stuffed animal.
Nobody panic. Bun Bun is still at daycare.
And never put them in harm's way.
I'll be right back, little man. Just gonna pop in the store for diapers.
But never happens. Temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left behind. So always bring them with you every time you park the car. Stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Listen to News Talk KFYO at home or at the office on your Amazon Alexa device. Just tell Alexa to play KFYO for the latest news, opinion, and weather. News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO. Listen at home, in the car, in your office, or on the go.
Coast to Coast AM with me, George Norrie, later tonight, starting at midnight on KFYO.
Nick, did you ever see the video for this song? Check it out sometime. You might rethink it. 806-680-2790. Welcome back to the show. I'm still fuming about pools. Well, still fuming about. I don't see government owning things well. I mean, is there a model out there? Is there a city out there that you could point me to that owns things well? That's not in debt. That's not just, you know, we're going to do something great and we're going to raise everybody's tax dollars to pay for it.
Well, I think the ancillary question to that is there a city out there that has those things that has a reasonable tax rate? Don't know. That's, you know, there might be one out there, but I guarantee their taxes are much higher than ours.
Oh, well, I don't know. I think you have to, you have got to make sure that you're taking care of essential services first. You have to take care of all of the needs before you can have the wants. And I know cities have wants, and that's what's beautiful. And again, that's what draws people to move to the city. But where's the model where it, that shows me where it actually makes money?
You know, and you're talking about this particular city council, whether it be here or Abilene, wherever, that they didn't make a lot of these decisions that they're having the repercussions on. And we're talking about, even though we're talking about the city having maintaining pools, no, this council didn't necessarily make those decisions, but they're having to live with them.
Sins of the father, man. I'm sorry. And you inherited it.
And the thing is that in a lot of instances, as cities grow and populations move, and like take Lubbock, for instance, what would be southwest part of Lubbock, that area is probably the highest taxed area. Property tax raises tons of money on sales tax, but it has the least amount of city amenities. And so it's one of those things. Do you keep asking for those that don't have any amenities to keep paying for the rest of the city, or do you find a way of trying to balance it out?
543 says, Amarillo parted ways with Jared Atkinson for a reason. He doesn't vote on the budget. They have to vote on the budget. That's not him. I mean, for the most part, he prepares what he's asked to prepare, puts together what the council directs him to put together, and they vote on it.
And some of these issues predate him too.
Oh, a lot of it predates him. Again, sins of the father. I mean, they've got to inherit it and take care of it. But I don't know. It just seems like there's been some really bad decisions made in a while. Ken, beware of killer bees. See how random that was?
That was random. I'm wondering if we're going into an SNL skit or what.
Beware of killer bees. Story on KFDX. Out of Wichita Falls, Africanized bees may look nearly identical to traditional honeybees. And this is a serious deal. We talk about this every so often, but usually when there's an influx or there's some on the move, there's swarms. Experts say their behavior can be dramatically different when a colony feels threatened. Wichita Falls beekeeper Larry Roderick is a bee removal specialist. And these guys, it takes a lot of guts here, man, to put on one of these things go nuts. He says there's two types of bees. They look nearly identical to the average person. The biggest difference is how they respond when their colony is threatened. Some bees can be nice and gentle and calm. Some are a little bit more aggressive. Africanized bees want to kill you. They go crazy. They go all in for defense whenever they're challenged. Africanized honeybees, we refer to them as killer bees, are known for being more defensive than the European honeybees. Both are important pollinators and generally leave people alone when undisturbed. The Africanized bees are more likely to respond quickly and in large numbers if they perceive a threat to their hive. And they take over. That's something the story doesn't mention. They take over the regular bees' hives, too. So he says, can you handle a sting? Most people can handle a sting. Can you handle four or five? It hurts, but most people, if they don't have an allergy, can handle four or five. Can you handle 400, 500, or 1,000? You cannot. These things kill things. They can kill people. They can kill animals. Animals wander into where... And these bees... They come in and they just start making nests in random places. I've watched videos like there's a guy out there, and I don't think it's Larry Roderick, but there's another killer bee guy. He's further down south, I believe. And I mean, he opened up a horse trailer one time that was kind of parked out in the field. It was kind of a weird place for it to be, but they open up a door and it's like just a massive amount, and they start cutting back and peeling back, and there's like this whole cavity of this horse trailer is full, massive amounts. And these things went nuts. I mean, they lost it and started attacking.
Walk around your house, walk around any shed you have, and you need, because sometimes...
With the baseball bat and beat on it, rattle it around, you know, see if you can get them stirred up. If they come after you, run, call Larry. Probably not the best advice.
No.
Probably don't want to do that. Nick can help. Call Nick. He can help you. News and weather, we got to go back in the
moment. He's being facetious there.
On on air and online. Weekdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Sound off during the show by sending a text at 806-680-2790.
Cats are masters at using up their nine lives, like chasing laser pointers into walls or jumping onto high shelves. But the one thing cats never do? Text while driving. So be like a cat and protect your one and only life. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
When you see a car that's been in a bad crash, it's no accident. When it backs traffic up for miles, no accident. And if there's a fatality involved, somebody died, that's no accident either. A lot of the time, it was speeding. And it's no accident that speeding is a factor in more than 150,000 crashes every year in Texas, many of them fatal. So slow down. Be safe. Drive smart. A message from TxDOT.
TSN Headlines, Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen in Dallas to honor three ICE agents for their heroism during the September sniper attack on the ICE field office, which left one detainee dead and two others injured. He presented them with Distinguished Service Medals. A handful of groups suing ICE over what they're calling inhumane conditions at Camp East Montana at Fort Bliss. Three people have died in custody at that camp, with at least one death attributed to excessive force by guards. Jury selection got underway today in the murder trial of Carmelo Anthony. He's the teenager accused of fatally stabbing Austin Metcalf at a high school track meet in Frisco last year. Parts of the panhandle now dealing with exceptional drought, but recent rain has helped out at least another part of the state. The Corps of Engineers says Lake Corpus Christi increased from 8% capacity in April to nearly 19%. Corpus says it'll make a final call on water restrictions in late June. With your Texas News headlines, I'm Barbara Schwartz.
Out here on the job site, you need equipment that shows up and gets it done. That's how we do it at ASCO Equipment with Case Construction. Right now, you can get into a Case skid steer, compact track loader, or mini excavator for 0% financing for up to 72 months, and a $1,000 attachment credit, and first-year physical damage insurance, and a $750 productivity plus credit after your Case check-in visit. That's more muscle, more value, and more reasons to put Case Construction equipment on your job site. Stop by your local ASCO or visit ASCOEQ.com to get yours today.
Divorce, foreclosure, loss of a loved one, life hits hard, and IRS problems often follow. You didn't ask for this, but you do have options. I'm Dallas tax attorney Nick Namath. At the law offices of Namath and Flores, we focus specifically on helping people like you resolve IRS wage levies, bank levies, and even unfiled returns. We help taxpayers fight back legally and aggressively. IRS problems don't go away on their own, so call the law offices of Namath and Flores today at 972-484-0829 or visit myirsteam.com.
Your Lubbock South Plains weather forecast is temperatures after a day of temperatures in the middle 90s. We're going to drop into a nice evening. Temperatures still holding in the 80s by midnight. 66 degrees by tomorrow morning. And then 91 degrees by the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms will be increasing by Tuesday. Weather is brought to you by Sonic and the Sonic Refreshers. I'm meteorologist Ron Arbert to Lubbock's official weather station. News Talk KFYO.
Sunrise LBK on KFYO is celebrating Window World's 20th year serving Lubbock with a giveaway valued at over $10,000. All you have to do is stop by the Window World of Lubbock showroom at 5004 Frankfort Avenue, Monday through Friday. That's how you can register to win one of six premium Larson storm doors with installation, each valued at over $1,800. The next winner will be announced this Friday. Visit KFYO.com for the full list of contest rules and descriptions with Sunrise LBK and KFYO.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A murder suspect wanted for three killings has been arrested after an intense search of Hawaii's Big Island. Jacob Baker of Pahoa, Hawaii, was arrested on suspicion of murder, burglary, and other charges following a search that involved state and federal authorities. Police believe the 36-year-old is involved in the deaths of three men, a 69-year-old man found partially submerged in a cement pond after being strangled, a 79-year-old man who was found just a few hundred feet away, and a third man, also 69, whose body was found 19 miles away, who died of sharp force trauma. The killings took place over 2 days in a remote and mostly rural part of the island that's a mix of tropical landscape and lava fields. Police received a tip saying Baker was hiding in a grassy area, and they found him hiding in a small cave and arrested him after chasing him through the jungle. Police say they have not identified a motive, but were confident Baker was involved in all three killings. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
The news and talk of West Texas. News Talk 95.1 and 790 KFYO.
Hey, welcome back. 806-602-790. I'd like to send a message. Robert jumps in. Better late than never. Says, OS2, I'm late. As I stated many times before, I get hurt falling into conversation. What's the topic? We're all over the place today, Robert. We're all over the place. But if you want to win some Seinfeld tickets, a pair of Seinfeld tickets and a one-night hotel stay at the Embassy Suites, you just need to text in from 6 to 7 p.m. all the rest of the week, 6 to 7 p.m., the word Seinfeld, your name, phone number, and add your email if you like. We'll enter you to win. We're going to draw this on Monday. That is the plan. You only need to enter once, so I don't have to clip that many names. Eric jumps in, says, Steve, you want to get rid of mosquitoes, get a bucket of water with a handful of grass and a tablespoon of BTI. We don't know what that is. It's a bacteria that kills mosquito larvae. It lasts about 2 weeks in water. Three buckets around your home will solve anyone's problem all summer. You do these things at your own risk, folks. I don't know what Eric could be like a mass murderer. We don't know. He could be giving us the recipe for something explosive. We don't know. He's a little crazy. You get a little too far out there in the little rural community he lives in, he could be crazy. So take that with a grain of salt. Thanks for the tip.
And there's various ones come out. You know, pest controls can do something real similar to that. I've got one that comes out and does mine. I've got two different things at my house that does basically the same thing, and I don't have to worry about it, touch it, or anything.
My wife's got some kind of oil or something. I mean, my wife's a hippie. I mean, she got some kind of oil or something, or taking some supplement will make the mosquito. I'm sure she does. I don't know. I'm sure. And, you know, the first mosquito bite of the year is always the worst. You react to it, and then you get used to them, and then they're not so bad, you know. 806-602-790. What's Texas Tech softball score? Well, you have access to that?
Tech softball score, Alabama is 1-0 over Tech, and it's in the bottom of the second. So,
well, and
Tech's batting
started
right now. So
just getting started. I have to go through all this rigmarole to log into ESPN to watch the game. I haven't done that yet. I'm busy getting Seinfeld ticket entries here. Interesting poll I got today. They ran this. When did this run? Let's see. Friday. It's a little older than I thought. It was a post-runoff poll of the Senate race, Tallarico and Paxton. This one, and I'm gonna dig and see if we have any more data yet, but this particular poll, and I got to dig to find, I see who did it, says that Tallarico leads Paxton 47-44. And I'm getting all these like random drive-by texts that are saying, look, this is, and it's just images that are clipped that says Paxton 22 points up over Tallarico. And I'm like, give me the source. Don't just give me some meme that somebody created that said, give me the source, because so far I have not seen a ton of data yet. We'll start to see more as we ride along here, but this is the first one I've seen. 3 percentage points over Paxton. This is a survey of 1,670 likely voters that was run by the Texas Public Opinion Research May 27th through the 28th. They just ran it. Published the data on Friday. Among those polled, independent voters and black voters overwhelmingly support Tallarico. While Paxton holds the edge among voters without a college degree, that just seems completely backwards to me. But anyway, Black voters are the only demographic where Tallarico has a distinct advantage, with 64% of the voters saying they support him, while only 26 support Paxton. Latino voters split between the candidates. 46 say they're supporting Paxton, 42% Tallarico. White voters almost equal in their support, with 46% of white voters saying they support Paxton, 45% say they support Tallarico. Independent voters overwhelmingly said Tallarico was their choice. So I need the moderate polling too. 64% to 21% over Paxton, with 11% undecided. There we go. Moderate voters also favor Tallarico, 72% to 15%.
Well, you look at
this is what bothers me, because Cornyn commanded a large amount of moderate votes, and this bothers me. Paxton leads Tallarico's among voters who describe themselves as somewhat conservative, 66% to 18%.
Well, one thing that I've looked at in recent elections, and they've been more accurate than a lot of polling, is what does Polymarket have to say? What do the betting sites have to say? And
is it bad that we're using Kalshi to look at our polls?
Well, I've got the Polymarket here, but from the 31st.
I know, but people are using Kalshi to figure out, Kalshi says they're doing well.
But Paxton has expanded his prediction market lead over Tallarico this last week. People are not, the comment says that, and this one that I saw on X says it seems that people are not impressed with Tallarico's recent girlfriend reveal. But Polymarket has Ken Paxton as 61% likely to be elected, and Tallarico's only 39%. So we'll see how that changes. And that's a big change, because at one point, right after the election, they were dead even.
So this poll also found that nearly one-third of voters that supported John Cornyn on the Republican side would make that nearly one-third would make the jump across the aisle to support Tallarico in the general election. That's troublesome. 30% of Cornyn supporters said they would vote for Tallarico, while 44% said they now plan to vote for Paxton. Another 23% of Cornyn supporters said they were either undecided or would not vote in the general election. Some people may stay home. Of the Cornyn voters that said they would vote for Tallarico, 51% cited Paxton's criminality and corruption as their primary reason. Study up on Tallarico. Another 13% pointed to Paxton's moral failure. 7% cited his alignment with Trump. Well, you weren't going to vote for him anyway then. 5% cited their disillusionment with the Republican Party. You weren't going to vote for him anyway. And only 10% gave a positive reason for supporting Tallarico. And another said they saw no acceptable alternative.
You see a lot of different people that are saying that now, and the Republican machine has not even really started to use Tallarico's own words against him. I think you're going to see more of Tallarico talking about himself in these ads than almost in any campaign that I can hardly recall.
Now, here's one that's kind of interesting. The favorability ratings. When asked if a political figure was viewed favorably or unfavorably, Paxton holds a negative 19 net favorability rating, with 38% viewing the attorney general favorability and 57% viewing him unfavorable. Paxton scores the second worst among the list, finishing just ahead of Cornyn, whose net favorability is minus 31. Paxton's score was below Donald Trump's at a minus 3, Abbott minus 6, and a generic Republican candidate running for office plus 6. Tallarico has the second highest favorability rating, plus 7. Democratic national gubernatorial candidate, Democratic gubernatorial candidate state, Gina Hinojosa, had the highest favorability at plus 16, though 38% said they were unfamiliar with her. In other statewide races, Abbott holds a 5-point advantage over Hinojosa, and Republican Mays Middleton leading Democrat Nathan Johnson by the same 5-point margin. The poll has a margin of error of 2.8 percentage points. Now, talking about this on the Sunday show, one of my co-hosts said, I don't believe in polls anymore. They're never right. Well, they're correct, but they're counting on if all those people showed up to vote. If people poll and they use that data and they stay home or they don't turn out, the poll isn't accurate because they didn't show up. You can never guarantee the number of voters. You can put that as a survey question. and say, of these, this many said they were guaranteed to go vote the general, this many said they may not, and this many said they were staying home and not voting. They do that sometimes. But it's still, those polls, the accuracy is after they finish the act and complete the act of casting the vote, does that only then can you actually measure the polls, how valuable it was and how accurate it was.
Well, I agree with that. The fact that it's all about turnout, and the biggest fear that I have is that everybody's going to be so disgusted because there's going to be a lot of ads that are going to come out. A lot of it's going to be negative, and there's going to be a lot of Democrats, a lot of different people screaming about the Republicans, just using Tallarico's own words against him. The God is non-binary. There are more than two biological sexes. In fact, he says there's six. And, you know, just on and on, all the different things that the Tallarico's own words out there, they're going to be just tired of hearing it. And I think that's going to end up, it could suppress vote.
806-680-2790 as we go to break. 474 said, tried using Polymarket, but it won't let me use it, even though it's allowed in Texas. Kelsey works, though. Try it through a VPN. It might let you connect. Quick break. We'll be right back.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
When you see a car that's been in a bad crash, it's no accident. When it backs traffic up for miles, no accident. And if there's a fatality involved, somebody died. That's no accident either. A lot of the time, it was speeding. And it's no accident that speeding is a factor in more than 150,000 crashes every year in Texas, many of them fatal. So slow down. Be safe. Drive smart. A message from TxDOT.
Chad Hastie was more than a voice on the radio. He was a titan of Texas talk, a proud Red Raider, a man of faith, and a champion of free markets and liberty.
KFYO and Texas Tech's Free Market Institute have partnered to create the Chad Hastie Memorial Scholarship. Your gift will fund scholarships for the next generation of Red Raiders who share Chad's values.
No amount is too big or too small. Go to KFYO.com, click on the Chad Hastie Scholarship tab, and donate today to honor Chad Hastie's legacy.
Ah, the internet, a place where your curiosity can flourish, unless online threats stop you. The internet is wonderful, but you need to protect yourself online. Protect yourself online with NordVPN. NordVPN encrypts your browsing. Its threat protection pro feature helps you block malware, avoid phishing, and stop digital trackers. Get the best deal at NordVPN.com.
Sunrise LBK with Tom Collins and Matt Crow.
Hey, you know, everybody's talking about AI, and you know, we've already got an AI data center right in the heart of Lubbock.
Yeah, 19th and Q. They say that it uses about the same electricity as a convenience store. It
has a max capacity of 200 kilowatts, just like your garage.
Well, my garage didn't have 200 kilowatts.
Which we still can't figure out why you need that kind of power in there, but I think we've solved that.
All I have is a 320 amp meter base. I don't have an opium poppy farm in my garage hydroponically, for crying out loud.
Too bad.
I mean, opioids create constipation.
Are you okay?
And that's not cool. You know, you of all people should know that.
Well, I'm doing just fine today.
Oh, yeah, and I hear about it every time.
You know? I beg your pardon?
It's like, boom, there goes another one.
I think not.
Like dropping bombs left and right.
I think not.
Sunrise LBK, weekday mornings from 6 to 8:30. News Talk, KFYO.
After 98 years, we're still on the air. This is News Talk 95.1 FM and 790 AM KFYO.
All right, wrapping up the evening, 806-680-2790. You can get those final text in for the Seinfeld tickets. I have a couple of quick stories I'm going to fire off about the old baseball softball diamond. Texas Tech's Najeri Kennedy, who's pitching right now against Alabama, is the third college player to sign a name, image, and likeness in a deal with the Athletes Unlimited Softball League. The signing follows the AUSL's earlier NIL deals with Tennessee pitcher Carolyn Pickens and Texas catcher Renice Atwood continue its effort to part with college softball's most prominent names as ambassadors for the league. Kennedy was the second overall pick in the league's 2026 college draft and will have the opportunity to play for the Texas Volts in Round Rock, Texas, once her season at Texas Tech concludes. As part of the agreement, she will collaborate with the AUSL on marketing promotional initiatives leading into the 26th season, including social content and brand campaigns. She's the first college player to sign an NIL deal with the AUSL that includes a grant of profit participation units, giving her the opportunity to share in the league's profits as it grows, buying into the future. The agreement is separate from any professional playing opportunity and is part of their broader strategy to engage elite college athletes and connect with fans during the NCAA season. Her legacy was cemented last year when she became the highest paid softball player in NCAA history, signing a seven-figure NIL deal with the Matador Club, the Red Raiders collective. She led the program to its first ever NCAA Women's College World Series in 2025 and took them to a national championship. Well, they fell short in a decisive Game 3 soon after she doubled down on spending her senior year with the Red Raiders and signed another seven-figure deal. Congratulations. Now, jumping over to Wichita Falls, Ken, I did not know this.
Okay.
A new league calling Wichita Falls home in 2026. Tonight is their first ever game. The Wichita Falls Sputters, opening day, June 1st, 2026. The most successful sports team in Wichita Falls was probably the Sputters from the 20s to the 1950s. Wichita Falls had their own baseball team. If you've ever been to Sputter Park in town, that's where the team used to play baseball. Looks like they're making a comeback, Ken. Back in the day, they were part of several different leagues, but this new Sputters team is part of the Cowboy Collegiate League. Started in 2024, but it's having its first ever season this summer. We currently have nine teams in the league, broken into two different sections, Northern and Southern. So just real quick, we've got the Weatherford Cutters, the Tyler Knockouts, the Wichita Falls Sputters, the Waco Woolly Wranglers. What do they come up with these names? The Baytown Bulkheads, the Pearland Cobblers, the Galveston Sand Crabs, the Texas City Tall Boys, and the Texas X out of Conroe, Texas. Sputters will play their home games at Hoskins Field over on Barnett Road, according to the website. Tickets are reasonable. General admission is $10. Children 5 to 12 are 5. They have a 73-cent fee per ticket on the website. Anyone and under the age of 5, I'm assuming they'll get in for free.
Well, Lubbock used to have a team called the Lubbock Hubbers.
I did not know that. How old are you? How old was this team?
Well, this team played in the 40s and 50s.
Do you remember back that far?
No, because I wasn't alive then. I remember my dad talking about, you know, he was in high school coming over and watching the Hubbers play, and that was a lot of fun for the old-timers here in Lubbock. I'm sure some of them remember it. Now, I hope that they're not sold. They don't know how to use the text line and let us know about it.
You know, I played a little bit of Little League baseball when I was growing up. It's not a sport I really got into that much. I played some. It was kind of fun, but my heart wasn't in it.
I played, like when I was in first grade, I think I played with the Clover out in right field more than I did with the baseball. I got hit with one pitch, and I had one hit, and there was, I think it was by accident that I had the hit.
I got cranked pretty good a couple of times on the mound, nailed, and then I think they figured out it. You know, they could just knock me out of the game real quick because I wasn't overly fast, and so it was hard for me to steal bases. So I used to get hit all the time. Take your base. And I'm like, it seems like this is personal. You know, I'm doing this on purpose.
There was no pitcher that had to fear of me when I was at the plate. I'll guarantee you that. But I played basketball, did pretty well with basketball. But baseball was not my sport.
My favorite sport was I was on the swim team in high school. I could swim. Wasn't bad at it. I swam a lot. Yeah, I did swim team and FFA and probably why I got into debate.
Basketball and track were what I enjoyed the most.
I ran a little cross country too.
Played some football, but you know, like a lot of us, we wanted to play other sports. You kind of had to go through the gauntlet of football to get to the others.
I did that too. I started out my sophomore year at Coronado on the football team, and it was such a big team and heavy. I wasn't going to get to play a lot, and I had tried out for the swim team already, so I jumped over to the swim
football,
team.
Football, Oklahoma drill, it's always me and the nose tackle, who was just mean as hell. It always seemed to be me and him in the Oklahoma drill.
Enjoyed being with you today. Always do. This is the Texas Town Square Media Network. I'm Steve Evans. He's Ken Corbin, Nick Toshik on the other side, wishing you a wonderful evening. See you tomorrow.
The preceding program was a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network. The views and opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily the views of this station, staff, management, advertisers, or Town Square Media.